Blog Talk Radio.
Your will be done.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we are back. Yes, indeed. We are back again for another episode of Hidden Gospel Reveal. And I'm your host, Edemia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful, yes, indeed, to the Most High for the opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words which the Most High has granted me. Yes, indeed, for the blessing of His people. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me, that I have for Him some very important things for Him to do. And He told me because of what I must do, He said that, yes, indeed, I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, I would have His protection and His guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, for that, I indeed am utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me, that I have for Him some very important things for Him to do. And He told me that I must tell you those things, my brothers and sisters, and tell you concerning those things. He told me I must tell you things, my brothers and sisters, that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, to destroy. The first question that should come to mind, my brothers and sisters, is why is it that men have sought to be destructive against so much magnificent knowledge of the truth? The prophecies would never have said anything about the need for Messiah, according to Acts 3:18 through 23. Come for the remembrance, the restitution, the restoration of all things, according to all the Most High has spoken. Through the mouth of His prophets since the world began. If man has not been compelled to forget, disregard, even fallen from faith, my brothers and sisters, to completely dishonor, even pervert so much knowledge of the truth. Remember, my brothers and sisters, when we talk about what many call the new covenant, the word there for new actually means to make something like when it was new, to bring it to remembrance. What does the Holy Spirit do as a covenant, my brothers and sisters? Demanding that also those who petition in the name of the Most High must do the same. The Scripture says the Holy Spirit comes to teach all things. That means we have an obligation to seek all the Most High declared. Scripture says the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, comes to bring all things to remembrance. I said all things to remembrance. Even to rebuke all sin. How about then, my brothers and sisters, to reveal again the foundation the Most High declared eternal from the beginning. The fullness of it, my brothers and sisters, of all the Most High declared from the beginning as an eternal promise. Where the Messiah says the gospel to go forth and teach. He told His disciples, His apostles, who became His apostles, to go forth and teach. He said, go forth and teach all nations. Ooh, how did the nations become nations in the first place? My brothers and sisters, it wasn't through remembrance of all the Most High declared, but through so much self-righteousness, so much selfish ambition, have all the nations of the earth come to be in their differences. It's because, my brothers and sisters, men have forgotten so much what the Most High declared, forgotten that the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof, that men have sought to establish for themselves, if you will, territorial boundaries. Rulers feeling that they have a right to take under their supposed sovereignty and rule. even the very minds and hearts and thoughts of men. My brothers and sisters, it is Yah who made the earth, the world, and all they that dwell therein. Meaning, then, my brothers and my sisters, that no man has a right to rule except according to the fullness of what Yah has decreed, lest man be counted a robber. Well, like I said, the scriptures relate Messiah must come for the remembrance of all things. The Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, is given them for the remembrance of all things, that men might be prepared for that day, when indeed the Most High brings to remembrance all things. That men might discern, my brothers and sisters, fully, the Most High keeps all His word. What did He say? What did He say, my brothers and sisters? He said, my brothers and sisters, His word that He has sent forth will not return to Him void, but shall accomplish all that for which He has sent it. Messiah, revealing this, said, if you love me, keep, maintain, how about remember my commandments, the collective conscience that He came to reveal. How about restore the mind? All the prophets, Scripture says, spoke by the Spirit of Messiah that was in them. I would tell you the same thing today, my brothers and sisters, that should have been understood and was understood of old. That it is because man has not remembered all the Most High said in the prophets, has not understood the full fruition of it all, nor known to seek it fully to the dimension which pleases Yah. In a world, my brothers and sisters, is divided. I said divided and not one. Subject to all manner of man-made. Misallegiance. For lack of understanding. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 42 also speaks of Messiah coming to magnify the law. How about to reveal the fullness of the law? How about make the law clear? Ad infinitum. Line upon line, precept upon precept. So much of what the Most High knows and knew in advance that men would forget. He would have to come to restore, to magnify the law and make it honorable. Raise the law, the man's understanding of the law, to a level that the Most High Himself finds pleasing. Hey, people don't even realize it. 42:22, scriptures say the same, pretty much the same thing. Isaiah 42:22, you find the same concept also in Hosea 7. Same kind of concept also as in the latter part of the 42nd. Yeah, we talk about the latter part of the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. So, but this is the people robbed and spoiled. They're all of them snared in holes. Oh, they're even proud of it. Think they're freeing them. Hid in prison houses. Therefore, pray and none delivereth. Therefore, spoil and none says restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Oh, especially when you were taught, you already were saved. Already were delivered. Messiah comes, my brothers and sisters, to deliver His people from all those who would not tell them the fullness of the truth. For my brothers and sisters, to be left in darkness is to be left in bondage. If you're in an institution, we're not declared to you the fullness of the truth, the Most High intends, it is bondage. And it is not salvation, my brothers and sisters, because men seeking to exalt as sufficient, insufficient standards, it's worked to the deception of many souls. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think about it. So who among you will give ear to this? who will believe it, who will hearken and hear, understand and believe for the time to come. When scripture says, and who will hearken to other counsel, you look at it in the Aramaic, it was Yah, because men were disobedient. You know, they asked the question, who gave Yaakov for a spoil and Israel to robbers? Why did he say he did it? He said it was the Most High who allowed it. Did you even know you were subject to robbers? Did you know you were taken for a spoil? If all you knew was the doctrines of your rulers and you didn't know anything else, how did you know, my brothers and sisters, you were never compelled to seek Yah to the dimension in which you should? We'll talk about that in a minute in Psalms 14 and Psalm 53. Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Yaakov for a spoil and Israel to robbers? Is not the Most High against whom we have sinned? In other words, he already told folks in advance. Look at the blessings and curses between Deuteronomy 30, 28 through about 32. Look at all of it. A lot to be understood there, the blessings and curses, even the Song of Moshe. Look at it all. So did not the Most High against whom we have sinned? He said if men, he told Israel if they didn't behave as they should upon the Holy Land, they'd be cast off the Holy Land. I can only tell you then, my brothers and sisters, you need to understand something else about that is an obvious admonition. If man does not learn to behave as he should upon the Holy Land, he will not find his way to the Holy Land. Messiah never gave his life that an undisciplined people should enter the kingdom of Yah. Hosea, we talked about that for a minute. I'm going off something over in Hebrews 3. Hosea, in the 7th chapter, also says that Ephraim has mixed himself with the Gentiles. Ephraim mixed himself with the nations. Weary to the point of gray hairs and knows it not. But brothers and sisters, what it means is that men have fallen far from salvation, fallen from the faith. Hey, haven't even discerned that falling away from the faith means you fall away from the will of one. We got 45,000 denominations out here, my brothers and sisters. By no means is that faith in one Most High. And in fact, every one of those fallen standards, every time man divided himself away from the fullness of the will of one, these partialities were never sufficient. Or dare men believe that the Most High has signed his name upon a multitude of contracts and their partialities as if somebody's skill, negligence, and irreverence could be called viable. Scripture says the Holy Spirit will teach all things and reveal all things. Reveal, teach all things, bring all things to remembrance. How is it that men have not discerned to the dimension that they should? My brothers and sisters, I got something to tell you. I'm going to get over to Psalm 14, Psalm 53. Remember what I told you about Hosea 7? Scripture says, Ephraim mixed himself with Gentiles, weary to the point of gray hairs and knows it not. What about the scriptures, my brothers and sisters? In Isaiah 40. Remember, 2 Thessalonians talks about a falling away from the faith. That means men have become spiritually indiscriminate, immature, not discerning, my brothers and sisters, even what is the adversary or what systems of the earth have been divided and conquered tactics. Well, look at Isaiah. Before we go forward, how about Isaiah? It talks about men given for a spoil. Believing a lie deeply, my brothers and sisters, only leaves you still in bondage. Someone would sit back and say, well, I didn't know I was deceived. Well, that's the nature of a lie. It doesn't tell you he's lying to you. To believe a lie with all your heart still means that you are still left unstable. There are many who believe lies with all their hearts, my brothers and sisters, and it has only brought about much contention in the world and never peace. There's a reason why Messiah said your righteousness must exceed that of your leaders. Else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah, because it is a multitude of diverse leaders that left the world far, far, far straight from where it should be. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, what the Isaiah 42:25 says. Therefore he has poured upon them the fury of his anger, his people. and the strength of battle, and set them on fire round about. Yet they knew it not, it burned them. Yet they laid it not to heart. But now thus says the Most High, who created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. He's talking about a time of redemption now. I've called thee by thy name because thou, did you hear me, my brothers and sisters, art mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He's talking about people he's ready to deliver, but they must be prepared also, my brothers and sisters, to be delivered from the lie that they believe in and find salvation that is only in the truth. Messiah said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, but unless he come through by me. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, what he's saying is that it is his testimony and his testimony alone through which men find salvation. It's because he gave his life in petitioning for the fullness of the righteousness of Yah as an opportunity for atonement. I want you to hear, my brothers and sisters, many have given their lives, but could it be unto an atonement? If their hearts will not give for the fullness? What does it mean in Isaiah 59, when the Most High said he looked upon the sons of men and saw there was no intercessor, no one to help? Someone has then put upon himself the whole armor of Yah. Hearkening to Yah for the fullness of all the Most High declares. And the Most High, my brothers and sisters, will count as viable and will confirm as worthy those who believe him. Because there is no other testimony with which he shall be pleased. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. He says in Isaiah 40:27, Messiah will come forth saying, listen to me, O isles, hearken to me, O you nations. Let my people renew their strength. Apparently, there's a level of spiritual strength, my brothers and sisters, and discretion that people have fallen far away from. And men should have known to seek Yah for this restoration. Isaiah 40:28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard? The everlasting one, Yah, the Most High, creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. And there's no searching of his understanding. No, he does not forget what he has declared. He gives power, strength, remembrance, discretion unto the faint. And them have no might. He increases strength. Certainly there's a need for it. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Most High, even him whom the Most High sends, shall be renewed in their strength, shall be renewed unto a covenant, shall be renewed unto the wisdom the Most High always intended that never should have been forgotten. They shall mount up wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So Messiah comes forth, and we talked about this on last evening. So much of this prophecy here, my brothers and sisters, that men look at the fullness of it. Well, I just say 40th through 46th chapter of Isaiah. For men not to understand that is a scenario concerning the appearing of Messiah. I said it last night. I'll say it again because it sounds to me just what I said it is. Asinine that we live in a world that so many read these passages because they've been so misled not to understand that this is not only a word concerning Messiah, but latter day. It's been stubborn, my brothers and sisters, very stubborn on the part of man. Stubborn unto much blindness, my brothers and sisters. Balaam's ass was a lot more insightful. Might sound a little hard, I'm just telling you the truth. So Sigh will come forth, can keep silence before me, O isles. He's speaking a word to silence all the misconceits of all the nations. When Messiah said, go forth and teach all nations and to convert the nations, it was obvious because the Most High was not pleased with the thoughts of the nations. It's obvious, my brothers and sisters, that what most call wise, Most High did not count wise. He says, keep silent before me, O isles, let my people, let the people renew their strength, let them discern who Yah is. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let them learn how to speak plainly, not stuttering or stumbling or hesitant or unstable in their thinking or their words. Let them come together, then maybe, let's just say, righteous and wise in their judgment. And the scripture says, concerning this one, say, who has raised up this righteous man from the east? They translated righteous man from the east, but it means a righteous man who comes forth suddenly like the rising sun. How about to cast out all the darkness? To reveal the light the world has sought to obscure and has forgotten in so many ways. Isaiah 41, really about the 41:21 through 42:4, speaks so much about this. I want to look at some comparisons between some of this prophecy at Isaiah 40 through 41, 42, in comparison to some scriptures in Revelation. Well, how about Romans 11:25, about 12 and 4? They need to be looked at very closely, because if we understand, my brothers and sisters, that Isaiah 40 through 41, the voice crying in the wilderness, the voice like Eliyahu, speaks of the coming of one that is called like this righteous one from the east. Revelation 6:12 calls him the king of the east. The Messiah says, behold, I come. I'm telling you now, they're one and the same. They put king, oh, they're just a little bit of stuff they stuck down there just to throw people off. One called the king of the east, the righteous one from the east, Messiah, who Messiah is. I'll tell you this right now. If you know a Western concept of who, or a Western concept of the Savior, and you don't know, my brothers and sisters, this ancient foundation as to whom Yeshua said he is. What the early church knew to expect in what is actually be the third appearing of the Messiah. Then, my brothers and sisters, you haven't known him at all. I repeat, if you have not known who Messiah said he is, who Yeshua, I'm putting it to you this way. I'm saying it this way for a reason. In the Aramaic, the name that many call Yeshua, or some say Yah. Well, I've heard a lot of different pronunciations. But in the Aramaic, we know that the root word for the name of the Savior, Hebrew word Yasha. In Aramaic, it is said Yashu or Ishu. I'll only tell you this, my brothers and sisters, as a letter form of the same title. In the Latin, especially in the Italian, to this day, you hear some, even in the French at times, you hear the title for the Messiah as Jesu. As I said in Aramaic, it's Yeshu. We understand that root word Yasha. And those of you who know the truth about how to, when you know, like say, reading Hebrew, well, you would look at those last syllabizations and understand what I'm getting at here. But the word Yasha means he will deliver his people from their sins. And my brother and sister, the one who comes to deliver men from all the misconceits of this world is certainly Savior. Let us understand, my brothers and sisters, the principles of the name. It's very important that we do. Listen to these verses, Isaiah 42, 1 and 2. who raised up the righteous man. Who was it that raised up this righteous man like the rising sun? Come suddenly like the rising sun. Cast out all the darkness. Called him to his foot. And made him rule over kings. Huh. All the kings of the earth and then was divided the world in a multitude of differences, partialities. That means he can't be partial according to anybody's diverse doctrine. He can't be polluted or perverse according to any subordinate doctrine. I guess you may say insubordinate doctrine. He must reprove all the sin, all the error, all the partialities. He cannot uphold any of them. Scripture says, well, think about this. Scripture says, those who keep his works to the fullness. Think about it. He will shepherd them with a rod of iron. He should discipline the nations like the brain shattering them, those who resist him, like the breaking of a potter's vessel, even as he was given authority from his father. Well, don't we understand, my brothers and sisters, that then it means that the gospel is by no means a word partial or polluted after the various standards of the nations, or else it would be like the Most High blaspheming the very conceit, perception, expectation, and declaration from the beginning that he knew his kingdom must become in this world. For all, my brothers and sisters, that he has declared to come to bear and for him to be pleased. Hear, my brothers and sisters, the Messiah said, go forth and teach all nations, baptizing. How many understand, my brothers and sisters, that the gospel is a revolution? Did you hear me? How many understand the gospel is a revolution, my brothers and sisters? They put down kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. They didn't want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that in the coming of the King of Kings and men, like the scripture says, unto him shall all the nations seek and his rest shall be glorious under this King. Even the one, my brothers and sisters, that will sit upon the throne is the Holy One of Israel. Through him, my brothers and sisters, scripture says, all the nations shall seek even his peace, his rest shall be glorious. He will reprove all the unrighteousness of the world. With the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. How about not just the wicked, but every fallen rulership, my brothers and sisters, every partial standard that has bewitched the people to seek after something less than what the Most High requires. Because every fallen standard is, in fact, a deception. Who raised up this righteous man from the east and called him to his foot and gave the nation before him and made him to rule over kings? How about to perceive what is wisdom? What is the reign of Yah beyond all the kings? That will give the kings like dust to his sword and driven stubble to his bow. How about the accuracy of his word? You know the scripture says he comes like a mouth like a sharp two-edged sword, smiting the nation with a rod of iron. Revelation 19, 11 through 21. And my brothers and sisters, the scripture said, the word of Yah is living and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to tell the point of division between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, able to tell the thoughts and intents of the heart. My brothers and sisters, like a sharp two-edged sword that relates a very defined point. It will cut, my brothers and sisters, to discern the righteous from the wicked. Between those who are rebellious and those who seek even righteousness. To discern, my brothers and sisters, they're willing to seek all righteousness. But there are many, my brothers and sisters, who right now are amongst the churches. Many who would otherwise seek Yah. But my brothers and sisters have not realized how they've been bewitched. Have not realized how they've been beguiled to believe the standards that the rulers have said sufficient were. In the truth of the matter, the rulers themselves are already, my brothers and sisters, in a heap of trouble. The scripture says, all those who have led his people into captivity shall go into captivity. Whoever gets killed with a false word Shall perish with the true sword appears, the true word of truth, the word of Yah appears. It's the reason why the scripture says they would run for cover and said, hide from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne, for the day of his wrath has come. Who should be able to stand? All our brothers and sisters, only those who seek beyond the rulers, hearkening what the Messiah said, and say, your righteous must exceed that of your leaders. Else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Think about it. When the Most High brings his people back from the midst of all nations, shall they bring with them the filth, the perversions, the pollutions, the partialities, the resistance, the rebellion of the rulers into the holy kingdom? Absolutely not. He said, your rights must exceed that of your rulers who in so many ways deny so much of what is contained in the law and the prophets. He said, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. So much the law and the prophets, my brothers and sisters, reveal how Messiah shall come and even who he is. Even who Messiah said that he is. The anointed one that the scriptures speak of. Oh, I've heard a lot of people sit back and say, well, I don't see the name anywhere in the Bible that says Messiah, what we call, they say, they harp on this idea about the name Jesus. But my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that Yahusha, or Yeshua, if you will, he's never the Aramaic, so we don't know, they say that they use the Hebrew, and they say Yahusha. I've heard all kind of, like I said, terms. But seeing that Messiah spoke the Aramaic text, spoke the Aramaic as a language, let us be wiser, brothers and sisters, and give consideration. Well, I want you to consider something, my brothers and sisters. Please. There are many who say that Yeshua, per se, did not fulfill all the prophecies spoken concerning him. And I find it amazing that many of them, my brothers and sisters, don't talk about all the prophecies as to what the scriptures say the Messiah will do. That's just outright foolish hypocrisy. Because you don't want to talk about what scripture says the Messiah will do in the fullness. Except because most people don't know what the fullness of those promises are. It's still quite deceptive, my brothers and sisters. Scripture says he's going to reprove all the kings. You ever stop to consider the reason why they haven't taught you all the law of the prophets? Because it means the kings haven't been treacherous, not having taught all these things, seeking to sustain their pulpits and thrones, have only been derelict in their duties and negligent in their duties, if you will, even treacherous in their duties. So they keep you in bondage to be exploited by them. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. They have a modus operandi, but there's nothing holy about it. Well, these prophecies, my brothers and sisters, again, as I told you before, the gospel is a revolution. I think about scriptures like those that most haven't really comprehended how many times the scriptures say this, but how many times it says, but the way people have interpreted it is entirely out of line. Hey, the scripture says, behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. How many have considered Isaiah 49 in interpreting those words? I think about the interpretation of how many perceive 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, not realizing it comes from Isaiah 19. Saying the Most High comes with a swift cloud. Clouds were recognized as a message. A message from on high that all eyes can see and none can deny. They really believe that the anointed one, everyone shall literally physically see him in its appearing? Or shall it be, my brothers and sisters, that he should declare a testimony that men know him as he is? Therefore, to prove foolish are the suppositions that men have decreed. I think about scriptures like Isaiah in the, let me put it up for you right quickly. Yeah, I was correct the whole time. Isaiah 33. I want you to understand why the verses are written this way. It's talking about when Messiah comes and say, hear ye that are far off what I've done. I said Isaiah 33:13. Hear ye that are far off what I've done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. Understand, he says, he will come forth according to Isaiah 49, saying, listen to me, O owls. Hearken to me, O you nations. Like one scripture says, let my people renew their strength. He said, listen to me, O owls. Hearken to me, O you nations. Most High has called me. Yes, from afar, even to speak to the nations afar off. Talking about, what is it, 5:26 Isaiah? Name of the Lord, name of the Most High comes from afar. Some text even translated there comes from a distant nation or a great nation far away. In the latter days, it says it comes from a nation in the west. If you look at Hosea 11, particularly 11:5-12, look in NESB, RSV, NIV, for instance. And more correctly translates scripture where they say, behold, where they say glorify the, they say put down some texts, they glorify the name of the Lord. They put down the word fires. Some texts say sea. Word for fires also relates east. The sea relates west. It means that something happens in the west, that those in the east will rejoice because of something they heard that happened in the west. Why did they tell you about the secret city prophecies, my brothers and sisters? I'm talking about, oh, by the way, those verses, Isaiah 24:10-16. Maybe I need to type that in. Isaiah 24:10-16. Other verses, you need to look at all of them, actually, 11:5-12, Hosea. Scripture's talking about Messiah coming from the west. Also, Isaiah, that's in a lot of days, 59:19. We really need to read all of Isaiah 59:19 to about 60:12. Understand and kind of get a feel for what Messiah comes to do. Well, he said, you that are far off what I have done. You that are here, you that are near, acknowledge or see. How about acknowledge or see my might? Will everyone see him physically? Or will they finally discern in a true message what is the strength of divine testimony beyond all the pluralities that cause men to fall away from faith? It says when he would come forth saying, listen to your eyes, hearken to your nations. Most High is coming from far. Even speaking to nations afar off from the womb. He says, from the body of my mother. It may mention my name. Hey, to declare his glory, to bring Israel back to him. My brothers and sisters, there are those who lie to you and tell you that immediate prophecy in those first six verses have to do with Israel as a nation. They are a bunch of damn liars. They have told you this so you don't even know what to seek. If you think, look, anybody who wants to get angry at me because I said they are a bunch of damn liars. Because I tell you that has to do with Messiah. rather than the nation of Israel at first. Let them get in contact with me. Hey, you can get in contact with me here at Blog Talk Radio. Hey, I'm there. Click on message. Contact me. Call the show. Hey, guest call in is 661-554-9212. Get in contact with hiddengospelsite@yahoo.com. It's an email address. Anybody wants to talk about that, you can call me. You sit back and talk about it for a little while, because I can show you how many times in prophecy it still relates about one who must raise the conscience of Israel. Because God news for you, my brothers and sisters, Israel got problems. All manner of diversity of doctrine that the Most High could never be pleased with. And it is sin that Israel is divided after so many contentious ideals. And these people who would compel you to be blighted, blinded, stuck on stupid. Yes, I said it. Because that's what they would do. They would make you stupid. To make you believe that all the differences that men call Israel today, that men call the faith today, are true to the will of one, is an outright damning blasphemy. Yah is one. First command of all is the Shema, that he is one. If they sit back and try to tell you that all these differences that, hey, in other words, get the point, get what they're doing. They would have you to be ruled by them, never discerning beyond them. To call them holy in all their massive indiscretion and unholiness. Only to destroy you. Well, I got news for you. Anybody wants to argue about that, I invite you to speak to me about it. And I know, my brothers and sisters, those who are willing to listen, you hearken enough. Anyone who wants to argue me on that will be ashamed. That, I promise. Anybody out there hear me? Listen closely. I'm not biting my tongue. Okay. If you don't hear it tonight, hey, archives out there, let your buddies know anybody want to argue me on that. Or whoever wants to comment on that statement. Get in contact with me. We can talk about this a little bit. Because I know the scripture says we have to come together to reason. I didn't say reason according to the shallow-mindedness of the various nations. The scripture says Messiah calls forth his people. He says, come, let us reason together. It's according to all the prophets have said. You want to get in a debate session with me about all the prophets have said that you have ignored and have not spoken? Will you take me up on it? We can talk about all those things that you don't speak about. Pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, imams, whatever you call yourself. When you get in a conversation with me, we're going to talk about all of it. I hope you understand it. And I hope you're prepared for that. Because God news for you, that is what's going to happen. Messiah said, you ask for the Spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it. Well, guess what? If you don't intend to teach all things, your oath was false right then and there. I can only tell you, my brother and sister, that word that is sharper than a two-edged sword, that will discern, my brother and sister, the thoughts and intents of the heart, relates a very defined point the Most High desires his people to awaken to, that they must awaken to. It cuts both ways, my brother and sisters, between the righteous and the wicked. Find out who wants to serve Yah fully and who won't. Because it's a word of healing, my brothers and sisters, according to a fullness. And it reproves both the rulers and the people, whoever it is that doesn't want the whole word of truth. The scriptures tell us well if we want to be wise about it. In Isaiah 8, chapter 16 to 20 verse, Messiah will come forth saying, bind all the testimony, seal all the law. Don't call a confederacy or a covenant, what these people call a covenant, in its partialities. And he will declare, either you seek to reckon according to the fullness of this word, there's no light in you. I repeat, my brothers and sisters, if we're going to talk about this thing, let's talk about the whole word. Stop playing with my people. Let's be real. Why do you think it says, you who are near, see what I've done? Acknowledge my might. You are far off. Here. Do you think everybody's going to see one man at one time? Oh, it might be telecommunication. You might allow it. My brother says, that's not talking about somebody coming out of the sky. When the scriptures talk about the idea, as I said before, behold, it comes like the clouds. That's what it means. Every eye shall see. It means, my brothers and sisters, everyone shall finally perceive Yah as he is. And perceiving him as he is, they begin to perceive also, my brothers and sisters, how he is not. And men haven't been taught a multitude of faulty scenarios. Never taught you about the secret city prophecies. Never told you who Messiah said that he is according to all the prophecies, that you might seek the prophecies to discern what is his promise. Have kept the whole world, my brothers and sisters, blinded, in bondage, snared, proud of vanity. And with none of this, my brothers and sisters, could the Most High be pleased. Well, how about this? How about this, my brothers and sisters? I want to look for a moment at Psalms 14. We need to talk about a few things about who Messiah said he is. And the concurrent condition of the world and why it has not understood these things. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, I want you to consider the prophecies in Isaiah 41 said that when Messiah comes and how he comes and what he comes to do in reproving all the kings and rulers of the whole earth. Oh, well, the rulers weren't going to tell you that. How he comes, what he comes to do, how he appears. Scripture says in advance that they weren't going to tell you these things. Yes, they do. I repeat, they tell you in advance that the rulers weren't going to tell you these things. And in fact, it relates in so many ways that Messiah comes in a manner that most have not expected. Now, brothers and sisters, when you read Isaiah 41 through 42, realizing that Romans 11:25-12-4 speaks as latter-day prophecy, then who was it the apostle Shaul, they called Paul, was called the Messiah? Well, scripture goes on from the 40th to the 41st, all the way out to the 45th. Who is Shaul talking about when he says, let us not consider ourselves so wise for the time after a multitude of divisions? Till Messiah comes to reveal the hidden things, that every man know how to praise Yah. I've talked again and again on this show about how Isaiah 44:20-45:6 relates the spirit of those words. We could talk about how Romans 11:25-12:4, particularly 11:25-27, relate Isaiah 59th chapter, particularly that 19th through the 21st verses, that sounds so much like everything the prophet said before about that one that's mentioned in Isaiah 40-46. That they may know from the rising sun to the west there's none else but Yah. Well, why don't they tell you about these things, my brothers and sisters? Who is that one? There's one, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures call Messiah. They call, there's lots of titles. Morning Star, King of the East, Righteous One from the East, Lord Our Righteousness, Son of Righteousness that arises, Sunrise, the Branch. Well, Messiah said, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. Who is the boy that title? There's one who cast out all the darkness, the one who's a pretender too. But there's one who cast out all the darkness suddenly. Yeah. And my brothers and sisters, I would say concerning this age is just still yet quite true. It's dark as just before the dawn. Because the prophecies say that at the time when man is at one of his deepest, lowest spiritual ebbs, that's when Messiah will come to bring forth the light. Still very much the case. But your rulers don't want you to think about how depraved society and their teachings have become. Because they come from seminary schools. They passed out generic degrees where everybody's really in a frat. I know they call themselves us to me many times about with regard to their treachery. I told them about a particular truth, and they said, really one pastor was telling me, said, well, don't go tell folks that. Don't take that from us, he said, Ed. Whew, Lord. One pastor said, don't you know for us it's not about what the Bible said ultimately. He said, it's about them learning the profession. How about keeping their professors in their seminary schools employed with that generic degree they can pass out to folks and go to any denomination they want to? You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, this world has had rulers who are all in cahoots to make sure they maintain what is very much so a stifled and polluted status quo. Most High did not create man that men should divide the world up, that then men contend against one another, claiming to be true to the one, and causing so many of my brothers and sisters to live in this world only to die, perishing for lack of knowledge and for the praise of what has only been men's selfish ambitions and arrogance and ignorance. Messiah gave his life that men receive a spirit that would teach all things, no lie in it, to the most diligent soul. The question is how many, my brothers and sisters, have been willing to seek to that dimension? How many? Well, I'd like to look at Psalms 14. Wow, so many things I could sit back and tell if I had the time. But Psalm 14, my brothers and sisters. Psalms 14. I know I'd read in the King James Version, but I'm going to offer you a translation from the Aramaic. It says, the fool has said in his heart, that means deeply in his heart, has been zealous to believe as if there's no God. Hold on. Well, some people say that's talking about somebody else. No, when you sit back and say that there's no absolute, you're saying there's no absolute standard. You say the Most High is what? Some people say by his grace he's put away his law. That would be the same thing to say he's put away his very authority as the Most High. That is insanity to say he's put away his law. What, to leave you subject to everybody else's foolishness? That's deliverance? If you're not under divine law, whose law are you under? Pagans didn't have a word to relate to difference between divine law and man's law. What they call law was for preservation of all their heathen gods. So by the grace of the favor of the Most High and his mercy, does he reveal to mankind what is necessary to return to him? Or dare men believe in the multitude of their perversities, pollutions, and exaltations of ignorance, that they have the power to deliver themselves? Think again. Fool has said in his heart, there's no, what, absolute? What did Apostle Shaul say? If any man consider himself wise in this world, and the differences of this world, the contentions, the contradictions of this world, the divisions of this world, say, let him consider himself a fool that he may become wise. What he said, anyone who says there's no absolute, my brothers and sisters, is a fool. Why? Because he's dared to say that Yah is not one. He's believed in a pluralist sense of deity. And even the devils, the scriptures say, know that there's only one. How has man, my brothers and sisters, been deceived to think otherwise? Fool's in his heart, there is no absolute. Therefore, not perceiving just how much they need to seek Yah. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. Men are corrupt, they remain corrupt, never come to the fullness that was intended. Or has not for long, for many generations. I'm explaining this as I keep going. Scripture says they have been defiled by their own devices, their own thoughts, their own conceits, their own ambitions. There's none that does good means there's none who seeks or does what is wholly complete and worthy unto Yah. Does that mean men are saved in this, still believing that a fallen, devious standard is wise? I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, men need to think again. Right here in these verses, they speak about that not being the truth. So the Most High looked down from heaven upon the children of men and said, there any that did understand and seek Yah. How about many? Most High looked and he said, let's see if there were any that understood. How about how much we need to seek Yah? That's a whole lot of truth. And a whole lot of folks turn around and sit back and say, well, I'm a Baptist. And that's all I need to know as a Baptist. Lord, heaven help us. Some say I'm a Presbyterian, a Catholic, whatever. That's all I need to know. Hey, pastor passed me on my back when I pay my tithes. Shame. My brothers and sisters, I've heard more than a few times from a whole lot of pastors that their job is simply to preside over a congregation. Like one pastor said, I'm glad you all understand these things, but this is what our people want. Hey, and it was ignorance. And he said, if they're willing to buy it, they're willing to sell it. You understand, you need to know how to recognize a snake when you see one, my brothers and sisters. Didn't understand how much they need to seek Yah, because they hate. Status quo say that's enough in an indiscriminate society. You ever stop to consider there's some things that they hope you never look for, hope you never find? Most High has looked and he saw no one who understood how much we need to seek Yah. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, the Most High will reach out and touch a mind and make that mind aware that he needs to seek so much more than what is common? Which is why the scriptures say in Isaiah 50th chapter, Messiah will come forth. Well, you talk about 50th chapter and the 49th. It says Messiah himself, and this is latter-day prophecy, will come to realize and will even declare that he realized that he for a long time has spent his strength for naught, vanity, according to the shallow-minded standards of men. But now Yah has become his strength. Wow. What about the scripture says, morning by morning, the Most High caused his ears to hear the teaching in Isaiah 50, that he should not turn back the rebellious way, know how to declare a word to the weary. Did they teach you about that, my brothers and sisters? Did they teach you about the scripture in Hebrews when it actually says he grew to become perfect? Read the original language. He became author of life everlasting to those who obey him. He offered vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And verily he was heard. He knew to seek the Most High, my brothers and sisters, for all that is necessary to transcend all the folly of mankind. They teach you a lot of crazy doctrines, my brothers and sisters, in this world, so that you never understand what is the power of the Holy Spirit. I've heard some teachers, just because the people call themselves teachers, tell folks that if you're elect, you're just simply going to go, quote-unquote, heaven. But brothers and sisters, the scripture says you better be very, very diligent. In 2 Capers, 2 Peter, 1 chapter, particularly 1 through 10, 11, it said, by your diligence for knowledge, you make your election sure. Most time I call you to begin to realize that there's something more than the ordinary you must seek. But if you're not compelled to, or not compelled to speak beyond the seek what is necessary to speak beyond the ordinary, because you seek the praise of men, you've already broken the covenant. If you're willing to presume anything concerning the Most High in your hastiness, you've already broken the covenant. In fact, my brothers and sisters, for such instability, run the risk of never hearing what is necessary ever to overcome. But how many understand that it says that a man sinned willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth? It's sin to be presumptuous. You don't put any words in the mouth of the Most High, and you don't cause anybody to presume anything out of line. A man sinned willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. He becomes a deceiver. He's ready for the fire of the nation that consumes the deceivers, the adversaries. Horrible thing to fall in the hands of an angry Yah. Brothers and sisters, the Most High will not be insulted in his efforts to awaken the souls of men to discern his truth. Man must become very much more reverent than he has been. And I pray you will understand that. Psalm 14 and 3, they're all gone astray and have been rejected altogether. Oof, there's none that does good, no, not one. That's why the Most High sends Messiah. Read Isaiah 50 and understand. Read Isaiah 41. All of them say that folks are going to find out that they hadn't even heard the gospel. They just heard, like I said, doctrines to defend people's pulpits and thrones. But that's not the kingdom of Yah. That's not the exceeding word. Hey, if they knew the exceeding word, why would they be establishing their own institutions, compelling men not to grow to the dimension necessary? Brothers and sisters, if they really knew the truth and cared about the truth, they'd be doing what is necessary, my brothers and sisters. That the people know to seek beyond all the partialities we see in the world, that you might be prepared for him who comes to save and make whole. Says they recognize not the workers of iniquity, the evildoers. Hey, how about those whose doctrines, what did Messiah say? He would say to many, keep away from me, I never knew you. You whose works are iniquity. Why did they tell you about that? What it means, my brothers and sisters, he said, watch out for false prophets. They teach you a set of hasty conclusions, not concerning all the Most High has said. He said, watch out for false prophets. How about to teach a fallen standard, false expectations? Not all the Most High told you to look for, according to all the prophets. Cry, Lord, Lord, but not to perform fully or teach fully what the Most High has spoken. Not to perform fully, my brothers and sisters, all that pleases Yah. That's a faulty foundation, my brothers and sisters, because if you have a whole bunch of people all teaching their own partialities like him, rock has been worn away unto sand, and the foundation, my brothers and sisters, is nothingness. And yet the people turn around and say, and the pastors turn around and say that they preached in his authority. What did he say the authority he would give? Under what conditions? I'm talking about Revelation 2:27 to about 2:29. He said, those who keep his work to the fullness, keep his conceits, what he has declared, what is true to his command, to the fullness, he will give them to shepherd the nations with a rod of iron. Break, if you will, the rebellious, like a breaking of a potter's vessel, an unclean potter's vessel. Unclean potter's vessel that won't be washed, for brothers and sisters, will only be disease and carry forth disease. He said that's the authority he received from his father. Did he say he would give that authority or he would uphold those who would rebuke righteousness, but they have not sought that their own righteousness be complete? You need to go back and look at 2 Corinthians 10. How about 10:4-6? He said we are ready to revenge all disobedience because our weapons are not carnal. Carnal weapon can't rebuke carnality. Ready to rebuke all disobedience when our obedience is complete. Casting down the strongholds and false imaginations. And everything that stands against how about the exceeding knowledge of Yah? So the people not discerning that none does good or conceives after fullness, they recognize not the workers of iniquity, inequity, injustice, uncleanness, partiality and treachery against the word. And they devour my people like one devours and eats bread. and they call not upon the Most High himself. What the scripture mean when it says in Isaiah 48, they swear by his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness? That means it's not him that they called upon. He is all that he is. His very name means he is all that he is. So you call upon his name in vain. He said when you keep a darkness. How about the short-sighted, blinded conscience of men? The Messiah said that in 15 chapter of Matthew, 15, 6 through 9. These be compared to Isaiah 29. And he talks about how the rulers have, with their lips, they're drawn their hearts far from him. Book is sealed to them because they have another agenda in mind. Hey, living in nations antithetical against the promises the Most High gave Israel, they preach a doctrine, my brothers and sisters, that is wavered and far from the cause and the purpose. Blinding themselves and blinding others. Never could possibly be truly Yah after such. And dare to say because most are oriented after state and status quo, they say, who sees us? That is extremely treacherous, my brothers and sisters. They turn around and say they preach whatever they want to. Simply because I tell you how I heard them say. Oh, I've been in the midst of some pastors. I sit back and listen to them. Oh, this is going to sound like a trip to you, but I could just tell you about it many years ago. Man, somebody in my family used to do some, I'm just going to tell you real quick, did some upholstery as a side job. Upholstery and furniture and other things like that. And they redid some furniture. They went to this place where pastors oftentimes hang out later Sunday after church services. And in this particular building where they were, hang out for pastors. Think about right where it is still to this day. They sit out and they have a few drinks together, yes. And I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, they were just literally, I thought it was a shame. They were literally chiding one another and their congregation. Because in effect, what they were literally saying, there's a sucker born every day. And they could teach them whatever they want to. And as long as they can get them to holler, flatter them a little bit, they got them. One pastor talked about it. I said, I really had them going. Other pastor asked, what did you teach them that you had them going so much? They were rolling now. After a little while, finally the pastor kept on saying, well, what did you teach them? See, I told him, say, you got up this morning, you know how to tie your shoes. You take the left lace here and the right lace there, and you spin it all around. You make a little knot, and you flip it all around. You pull it through and say, hey, I'm in my right mind. And there's so much more, my brothers and sisters. There's so much more. I thought it was such a shame. They teach you all this partiality to exalt themselves. Teach all these pollutions to exalt themselves. And some people are so thrilled about getting a pat on the back from the pastor in the midst of it, in the face of everybody else that's supposedly looking. That they're willing to pay to be flattered straight to hell. Don't even know it. As scripture says, they recognize not the workers of iniquity, the equal evildoers who devour my people like bread. One scripture says they revered fear where no fear was. But the time will come when they will be in great fear. I'm looking at a little bit of Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. You can look at Psalm 53. I might not have time to go through much more of this. But to maybe continue to go through this 14th Psalm. But they will be in great fear in the day that Messiah comes in the generation in which he revealed his righteousness. Because they have reproached the council. The rulers have reproached the council of the poor, or those who would seek after wisdom. They reproached, persecuted, denied, our brothers and sisters, those who would truly seek the Most High. Or let's just say who would seek beyond them. So who is it then that out of, who is it then out of Zion who should give the salvation to Israel? When the Most High sends, how about this, my brothers and sisters, sends his Messiah to bring back the captivity. Oh, the people, did they even know they were in captivity? To bring back the captivities of his people. His people have been in bondage. Then Jacob shall rejoice. All that is Israel, all the tribes shall be one beyond all the leaders who have kept them in bondage, scattered and scatterbrained among the nations. See, and then Jacob shall rejoice. Israel shall be glad. How about blessed and made one? Because that's what that word means. Who's ready to understand it, my brothers and sisters, for what it's really saying to us? Well, I want to get in for a moment. Look like I got about 11 minutes. Might be just enough time to speak a little bit more about this. How about Romans? Romans 11, 25. I want to start there. Remember these verses before this? I already began to reprove the Gentile nations. Tell them not to be wise in their own conceits. You need to think about why he said that. Because it's the root that sustains the plant, not the plant that sustains the root. He said the Gentiles are grafted in, which means the root that is grounded, my brothers and sisters, and the Most High has promised, will be that will bring forth fruit in the world. Still yet Israel. I think about scriptures like those that, how about Isaiah 44? The first part of Isaiah 44. Maybe I need to look at that for a split moment before we go any further, even though I have very little time. Seems like I'm prefacing the type of things that I want to say, and it's amazing that I keep on having to do this. But I often wind up prefacing what I have to say because there's so many things that need to be laid out of foundation. But if, need to be a lot more people who understand the type of things I've been saying over the course of the last couple of years. And I wouldn't have to go back through these things and rehearse them again and again before I could get to my point. But Isaiah 44:1, yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant Israel, whom I have chosen. For thus said the Most High, who made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty. This is talking about to the nation of Israel. But remember, Israel had to have someone to kick start everything. In other words, get the point. You need something to ignite the fireworks, something to ignite the dynamite. And that's what Messiah will come to do. It's a catalyst, my brothers and sisters, for the revolution that is to come. The scripture said he was marred more than any man. That's what they put in your King James Version. It really means he brings forth a revelation. A revolution, then, my brothers and sisters, greater than every man, for his thoughts are not like the sons of men. So I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty and flood upon the dry ground. I'll pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offering. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Most High. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Most High and surname himself and be surnamed by the name of Israel. Now, brothers and sisters, it's Israel that must break forth fruit. What about the scriptures, my brothers and sisters? They say Israel will blossom and bring forth fruit. Israel must first be restored, my brothers and sisters, who will understand it in its time. It's time to understand, my brothers and sisters, what these scriptures are really talking about. Well, Isaiah, how about going back to Romans 11:25? So I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you become wise in your own conceits. Those who know the truth about this, I'm going to say this quickly, know that Isaiah 59 is talking about humanity having gone gone stone haywire after his own conceits in these latter days, transgressing and lying against the Most High, conceiving in the hearts words of falsehood. Talking about the whole world. How do you think the nations are a multitude of Gentile nations, but that men have become wise after their various status quos across the nations, but have become foolish after such? He went on to have you be wise in your own conceits, and that blindness in part has happened to Israel through the fullness of the Gentiles. They put down fullness of the Gentiles to come in. How about to the time of the Gentiles comes to an end? A time of men being deceived after a multitude of diverse standards, refusing to reason fully with the Most High as one, till those times comes to an end. What do you think the time of the Gentiles coming to an end is really all about? You need to look in Luke 21:24 through about 27 and understand. There will be great distress upon the nation when they realize there's an absolute. The time of the nations, my brothers and sisters, being a multitude of nations against the will of one, must come to an end. Scripture says the Messiah reveals his exceeding word. Unto him shall the nations seek in his rest. His peace should be glorious. That is a conversion. That is a revolution. Romans 11:26. And so all Israel shall be saved. How about made one when they transcend all the ways of all the nations? When they overcome the sins and misallegiances among the nations. Read Isaiah 57-58 and understand. And so Israel shall, all Israel shall be saved as is written. Then shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Oh, the promise is still the deliverer comes out of Zion. How about the deliverer, my brothers and sisters, who wakes up even amidst Israel among the nations to awaken all his brethren. And he shall turn ungodliness from Jacob. How about the ways of all the nations, the impurity of the nations, shall he turn aside that there might be established a holy nation. He says, for this is my covenant unto them when I take away their sins. He said, what's some fix? They say they will have the same covenant with me. They all have the same doctrine. They all have one covenant. When I take away their sins, when I take away from them all their misallegiances, partialities and pollutions as the perversions of the nations. All this is in Isaiah 59, my brothers and sisters. And the allusion to what is said there is quite plain. If Most High saw there was no intercessor, then he had to bring one. If he looked in the world, he saw that there was none who understood how much men need to seek Yahweh. Well, guess what? He will inspire a mind to realize there's a need to seek far beyond the ordinary, that his people might be redeemed. You see, that's concerning the gospel. Yeah, he said, think about it. The Apostle Shaul talked about how, because many in Israel did not believe because they trusted in the rulers, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, zealots, Essenes, whatever. He went forward to the Gentile nations. Gospel went forward to the Gentiles. He said, as concerning the gospel, they're enemies for your sake. In other words, get the point. The only reason why the Gentiles would convert is that they realized that there's a greater kingdom than all their nations. This was understood in the early days. What happened to now? They're enemies for your sakes. In other words, they mean for a moment. They were blind in antipathy against the fullness of this word under the scribes and Pharisees, Sadducees, zealots of sins. Even the various rulers of the Gentiles that the Gentiles were under while they were scattered. But it's concerning the election that the Most High would awaken the hearts of his people one day, their beloved, because of the promise he gave to the patriarchs. For the gifts and the calling of Yah are irrevocable, meaning that it was understood that no, the deliverance will not come out of the sentimentality of the Gentiles. Messiah might be in the midst of Gentiles, that means his heart and sentiments a Gentile at all. His heart is to reason fully with Yah, and the word Gentile even relates to those who, like beasts, will not reason fully after the will of one. Look at the Hebrew word Goyim for Gentile and understand. As in times past, talking to the Gentiles, you believe not Yah, you now obtain mercy through their unbelief. Even so, have these also not now believed that through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. But guess what? Gentile, Jew and Gentile alike are both falling gravely apart from the glory of Yah. Let no man, my brothers and sisters, boast, lest in the latter day he be ashamed. Messiah comes, my brothers and sisters, to reprove all. Yah hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he may have mercy upon all. In other words, if Israel had not fallen away, would there be a need to go out and speak to the Gentiles? Or would he just simply say, okay, well, all Israel, wherever they are, understand. Why not have Israel just simply overcome the whole world? Think about it. It's only going to take an initial 144,000 to spark the revolution that will indeed take over the whole world. 11:33. Oh, the depth and riches and the wisdom and knowledge of Yah, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. If man can't find them out on his own, certainly most time our brothers and sisters must reveal himself.
90 seconds.
All falling short of the glory, that means that he will offer the path, offer an opportunity for all to understand. In other words, in Israel, having fallen away, the gospel went out, my brothers and sisters, first to the Jew, still yet to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. Otherwise, men would have been by and large just in the territories of Judea. You need to understand.
60 seconds.
For who has known the mind of the Most High and who has been his counselor? Read Isaiah 40 and see what it talks about leading to the one called the righteous one from the east, the king of the east. The one called Cyrus the Great, my brothers and sisters, is called the Most High's anointed in Isaiah 44 through 45. He did bear that title, morning star, sunrise, king of the maids, who the scriptures say in Jeremiah 50 through 51, will conquer Babylon once and for all. And so much prophecy relates the same thing, that even that unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear, because it is through his mercy and the wisdom Most High has given him that he will declare that the whole world will have opportunity to understand. But who will understand it again, my brother?
10 seconds.
It's all for the one purpose, that all our brothers and sisters might give glory unto Yah, who will understand in his time. Well, till we get a chance to speak again, my brothers and sisters, maybe I'll get a chance to clarify all of these one day. I get a chance to say everything that needs to be said. For whatever is not said about these few verses, it will be in the archives. I can only say, my brothers and sisters, the whole purpose of this, as the Most High said, is to bring again respect for him. Because men will understand for having disrespected him, are not look to him for an absolute point of reference. Many of my brothers and sisters for ages have fallen short of the glory and perished in their sins and their divisions, their error, or perished in having been misled. We say, if Messiah said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. It means saying you will die misled after the misrule of others. So I said, I beseech you by the mercy of Yah and that he offers you the opportunity to see what is true. Let me tack this down real quickly. So I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of Yah, that he offers you an opportunity to see what you cannot see or perceive on your own. You need to be guided by what is greater, my brothers and sisters, to attain to what is greater. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of Yah, even your gratitude for the kindness the Most High gives to guide you back to himself. That you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service. Do not say be conformed after the shallowness of the world. But seek, my brothers and sisters, the fullness. This is that with which the Most High should be pleased, that the Gentiles not be wise, the nations not be consider themselves wise, after shallow minds of their own very conceits. Who will understand it in this time, brothers and sisters? Because it's time to wake up and understand. Be not conformed to the multitude of partialities and folly of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, even seeking fully the foundation Most High declared from the beginning, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of Yah. Is that perfect, complete will what the nations have taught? If purity and completion offers one choice, it's because the world has not sought that fullness, that there's so many contentions in the world today. The verses we just got through mentioned, Isaiah 40. What does it say? In Isaiah 40, compared to what's also in this 11th chapter of Isaiah? Need to check it out, my brothers and sisters, understand what Paul, the apostle, was alluding to. Who has known the mind of the Most High? And who under him, it says, has been a counselor? Compare that to Isaiah 40:13. Who has directed the Spirit of the Most High, and being his counselor, has taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, it says in 40:14. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? My brothers and sisters, it's not the nations, and before him who was so much wiser, all the wisdom of the nations, men not compelled to seek out the fullness, are as a drop out of a bucket, accounts a small dust in the balance. Behold, he taketh up the islands as a very little thing. Brothers and sisters, Most High is looking for a people who seek the fullness of his will, who will not rob him or his people after partialities. There's a reason why it says you must seek the perfect will. That you discern what is acceptable. It didn't say among the multitude of partial. How can a multitude of partial standards be acceptable unto one, unto peace? The very word in Hebrew for peace relates completion. Who will understand it in its time? So unto his might, to his honor, unto all that pleases him, and to his praise, I didn't say the worship of confusion, or robbery, or treachery. My brothers and sisters, unto fullness of his praise always. To his honor of him who is always and forever all that he is. I thank you all for listening, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah!
You've got the words to change a nation, but you're biting your tongue. You spent a lifetime stuck in silence, afraid you'll say something wrong. If no one ever hears it, how we gonna
another reminder, so many so much more information and foundation regarding all the types of things I'm speaking about now. Do not refrain, neglect, or be derelict or slothful. But please, my brothers and sisters, examine that website of mine, hiddengospel.com, particularly such articles as Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. Discern who Messiah said that he is. Discern how he says he would come in an article there called Secret City Prophecies. Check out that article called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectations to discern who Messiah said that he is. Discern how the world got in the condition in which it is now, most not even realizing its fallen state. Check out that article called Tribulation 70 to 365 A.D. In order to remember, my brothers and sisters, what should never have been forgotten. It's an article called Remember the Promise. Examine these things, my brothers and sisters. Examine these things. And thank the Most High for the opportunity to discern what otherwise you might never have discerned. To the Most High again, my brothers and sisters, to his mighty honor and praise always. Hallelujah.